Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Valentine at the 12th Hour, in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is November 5, 2016, Artist History 6, 2020. I will start this third service on this seventh-day Sabbath with a song that I've written entitled, Banquet. Won't you come to the banquet and dine? And this whole world, there's a great anticipation for the grandest event of all time, for the saints to be gathered to the city of God, and then meet with the Savior and die. To greet you at the head of the line, you can still change the water into wine. So come, everyone, to the banquet and dine. For a long time, the same, I've been waiting to receive their call from the brave. We see their reward in glory, and your face I want his body to save. Oh, won't you come to the banquet and dine? The Savior waits to greet you at the head of the line. Do you still drink the water? And the angels go forth to every duty to keep a song. Then hurt not God's servants and do them no harm. For they have the last word to do for humankind. So they all can together to the banquet and die. Covenant with Abraham, part 21. We're going to continue our series. We're going to go look at Ezekiel chapter 16 for our beginning of this sermon. Let's look at verse 8 for our memory verse, and then we'll go and to deal with the rest of the chapter. It says that, now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was a time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith Yahweh Elohim, and thou becamest mine. Okay, now what is, he talking to, who is he talking to? Yahweh is talking to Israel here. He's talking to Israel through his servant, this time Ezekiel. And Ezekiel is a latter-day gospel prophet, as well as the other prophets, Isaiah and Jeremiah and a host of others, latter-day gospel prophets. Ezekiel was in captivity on the River Chebar when he was given these visions. And it wasn't to the house of the 10 tribes or that had already gone into captivity. It wasn't to the 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin, also that were in captivity. So he's prophesying to the latter-day Israel that he's to make a covenant with. After he puts the 2 great kingdoms back together, the 10 tribes and the 2 tribes. Okay, so now, let's look at the first verse of Ezekiel 16 and kind of get an idea of more what we're talking about. It says again, the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. Oh, wow. Cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. Okay, and say, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, unto Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the capital of Judah. Matter of fact, the capital of all the 12 tribes of Israel, but when the 10 tribes went into captivity, it remained the headquarters and the capital for Judah and Benjamin in the south. The 10 tribes went into captivity in 721 B.C. In the north, they made their headquarters of Samaria. They were taken into captivity from there. Samaria. Okay, it says, thine birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother an Hittite. So who is this father that was an Amorite and thy mother an Hittite? Well, at this moment, I'm not sure exactly what he means by that, but let's go ahead. It says, as for thy nativity, in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supply thee, thou wast not salted at all, not swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out in the open field, to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood live. I have caused thee to multiply as a blood of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellent ornament. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. When I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was a time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee, and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, saith Yahweh Elohim, and thou becamest mine. Then washed I thee with water, yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. Okay, I clothed thee also with broidered work, and shod thee with badger skin, and I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hands, and a chain upon thy neck. And I put a jewel on thy forehead, and earrings in thine ears, and a beautiful crown upon thine head. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of the fine linen and silk and broidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast exceeding beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom. Now this is the kingdom of Israel now. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith Yahweh Elohim. But thou didst trust in thine own beauty, and paidest the harlot, because of thy renown, and pouredest out thy fornication on every one that passed by, his it was. And of thy garments thou didst take, and deckest thy heart places with divers colors, and placed the heart thereupon. The like thing shall not come, neither shall it be so. Thou hast also taken thy fair jewels of my gold and of my silver, which I had given thee, and madest to thyself images of men, and didst commit whoredom with them, and tookest thy broidered garments, and coverest them, and thou hast set mine oil and mine incense before them. Thy meat also which I gave thee, fine flour and oil and honey, wherewith I fed thee, thou hast even set it before them for a sweet savor, and thus it was, saith Yahweh Elohim. Moreover, thou hast taken thy sons and thy daughters, whom thou hast borne unto thee, and these hast thou sacrificed unto them to be devoured in this of thy whoredoms, a small matter. Thou that hast slain my children, and delivered them to cause them to pass through the fire for them, and in all thine abominations and thy whoredoms, thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth, when thou wast naked and barren and wast polluted in thy blood. It came to pass after all thy wickedness, woe, woe unto thee, saith Yahweh Elohim. That thou hast also built unto thee an eminent place, and hast made thee an high place in every street. Thou hast built a high place at every head of the way, and hast made thy beauty to be abhorred, and hast opened thine feet to every one that passed by, and multiplied thy whoredom. Thou hast also committed fornication with the Egyptians, thy neighbors great in flesh, and hath increased thy whoredoms to provoke me to anger. Behold, therefore, I have stretched out my hand over thee, and have diminished thine ordinary food, and delivered thee unto the will of them that hate thee, the daughters of the Philistines, which are ashamed of thy lewd way. Thou hast played the whore also with the Assyrian, because thou wast unsatiable. Yea, thou hast played the harlot with them, and yet couldst not be satisfied. Thou hast moreover multiplied thy fornication in the land of Canaan unto Chaldea, and yet thou wast not satisfied therewith. How weak is thine heart, saith Yahweh Elohim, seeing thou doest all these things, the work of an imperious, whorish woman, and that thou buildest thine eminent place in the head of every way, and makest thine high place in every street, and hast not been as an harlot, and that thou scornest hire. But as a wife that committeth adultery, which taketh strangers instead of her husband, they give gifts unto all whores, but thou givest thy gifts unto all thy lovers, and hirest them that they may come unto thee on every side for thy whoredom. And the contrary is in thee from other women in thy whoredom, whereas none falleth thee to commit whoredom. And in that thou givest a reward, and no reward is given unto thee, wherefore thou art contrary. Yahweh's judgments on Jerusalem, this is no doubt on Judah and Benjamin, the two tribes in the south, tribe of Judah, says verse 35, Ezekiel 16. Wherefore, O harlot, hear the word of Yahweh. Now he calls Judah a harlot for apostatizing. Well, we represented Judah in 2002 at Kermit, Texas, there, Gilead Center. And Gilead Center had apostatized, so this is a name given to Israel when she apostatized. She's called a harlot. Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, because thy filthiness was poured out, and thy nakedness discovered through thy whoredoms with thy lovers, and with all the idols of thy abomination, and by the blood of thy children, which thou didst give unto them. Behold, therefore, I will gather all thy lovers with whom thou hast taken pleasure, and all them that thou hast loved with all them that thou hast hated. I will even gather them round about against thee, and will discover thy nakedness unto them, that they may see all thy nakedness. And I will judge thee as women that break the wedlock and shed blood are judged, and I will give thee blood in fury and jealousy. I will also give thee into their hand, and they shall throw down thine eminent place, and shall break down thy high places. They shall strip thee also of thy clothes, and shall take thy fair jewels, and leave thee naked and bare. They shall also bring up a company against thee, and they shall stone thee with stones, and thrust thee through with their swords. And they shall burn thine house with fire, and execute judgments upon thee in the sight of many women, and I will cause thee to cease from playing the harlot, and thou also shalt give no hire any more. So will I make my fury toward thee to rest, and my jealousy shall depart from thee, and I will be quiet, and will no more be no more angry, because thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth, but hast fretted me in all these things. Behold, therefore, I also recompense thy way upon thine head, saith Yahweh Elohim. And thou shalt not commit this lewdness above all thine abomination. Behold, every one that uses proverbs shall use this proverb against thee, saying, as is the mother, so is her daughter. Thou art thy mother's daughter that loatheth her husband and her children, and thou art the sister of thy sisters, which loathe their husbands and their children. Your mother was an Hittite, and your father an Amorite. And thine elder sister is Samaria, she and her daughters, that dwell at thy left hand. And thy younger sister that dwelleth at thy right hand is Sodom and her daughters. Yet hast thou not walked after their ways, nor done after their abominations, but as if that were a very little thing, thou wast corrupted more than they in all thy ways. As I live, saith Yahweh Elohim, Sodom thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. So it says, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were hardy and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. Neither hath Samaria committed half of thy sins. Samaria is the northern capital of the ten tribes. Jerusalem is the southern capital of the two tribes, Judah and Benjamin. So it says, Ezekiel saying, neither hath Samaria committed half of thy sin, but thou hast multiplied thy abominations more than they, and hast justified thy sisters in all thine abominations which thou hast done. Thou also, which hast judged thy sisters, bear thine own shame for thy sins that thou hast committed more abominable than they are more righteous than thou. Yea, be thou confounded also, and bear thy shame in that thou hast justified thy sisters. And I shall bring again the captivity of Sodom and her daughters, and the captivity of Samaria and her daughters. Then will I bring again the captivity of thy captives in the midst of thee, that thou mayest bear their own shame, and mayest be confounded in all that thou hast done, and that thou art a comfort unto me. When thy sister Sodom and her daughter shall return to their former estate, and Samaria and her daughter shall return to their former estate, then thou and thy daughter shall return unto your former estates. This is when the 12 tribes are gathered back together here in these last days. They're still separated. So this prophecy has to be for now, and here in this 12th parabolic hour, yet in the future. For thy sister Sodom was not mentioned by thy name, by thy mouth in the day of thy pride. Before thy wickedness was discovered as at the time of the reproach of the daughters of Syria, and all that are round about her, the daughters of the Philistines, which despise thee round about, thou hast borne thy lewdness and thine abomination, saith Yahweh. For thus saith Yahweh Elohim, I will even deal with thee as thou hast done, which hast despised the oath and breaking the covenant. Okay, breaking the covenant. You despise the oath and breaking the covenant. Nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with thee in the days of thy youth, and I will establish unto thee an everlasting covenant. There's that everlasting covenant. This is the one that counts, the everlasting covenant. This is when he puts the finishing touches on a purified Israel here in the last days. Then thou shalt remember thy ways and be ashamed when thou shalt receive thy sister, thine elder, and thy younger, and I will give them unto thee for daughters, but not by thy covenant. And I will establish my covenant with thee, and thou shalt know that I am Yahweh, that thou mayest remember and be confounded, and never open thy mouth any more because of thy shame, when I am pacified toward thee for all that thou hast done, saith Yahweh Elohim. Okay, that's the end of chapter 16 of Ezekiel. We're going to continue now with Ezekiel chapter 17. And the word of the Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of man, put forth a riddle, and speak his parable unto the house of Israel, and say, Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, a great eagle with great wings, long wings, full of feathers, which had diverse colors, came unto Lebanon, and took the highest branch of the cedar. He cropped off the top of his young twigs and carried it into a land of traffic. He set it in a city of merchants. He took also the seed of the land and planted it in a fruitful field. He placed it by the great waters and set it as a willow tree. And it grew and became a spreading vine of low stature, whose branches turned toward him and the roots thereof were under him. So it became a vine and brought forth branches and shot forth sprigs. There was also another great eagle with great wings and many feathers, and behold, this vine did bend her roots toward him and shot forth her branches toward him, that he might water it by the furrows of her plantation. It was planted in a good soil by the great waters, that it might bring forth branches, and that it might bear fruit, and that it might be a goodly vine. Say thou, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, shall it prosper? Shall he not pull up the roots thereof and cut off the fruit thereof, that it wither? They shall wither in all the leaves of her spring, even without great power or many people to pluck it up by the roots thereof. Yea, behold, being planted shall it prosper. Shall it not utterly wither when the east wind touches it? It shall wither in the furrows where it grew. Moreover, the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Say now to the rebellious house, Know ye not what these things mean? Tell them, Behold, the king of Babylon is come unto Jerusalem, and hath taken the king thereof, and the princes thereof, and led them with him unto Babylon, and hath taken of the king's seed, and made a covenant with him, and hath taken an oath of him. He hath also taken the mighty of the land, that the kingdom might be base, that it might not lift itself up, but that by keeping of his covenant it might stand. And you get that? The keeping of his covenant, it will stand. But he rebelled against him, and sent his ambassadors into Egypt, that they might give him horses and much people. Shall he prosper? Shall he prosper? The question is asked. Shall he escape? There are such things. Again, the question. Or shall he break the covenant and be delivered? Again, a third question. As I live, saith Yahweh Elohim, surely in the place where the king dwelleth, that made him king, whose oath he despised, and whose covenant he brake, even with him in the midst of Babylon, he shall die. Now here's a prophecy right here that, unless you know exactly how to put it apart, then it's just another saying. But I'm going to reread this verse 16 again. This is in Ezekiel 17. As I live, saith the Yahweh, Elam, surely in the place where the king dwelleth, that made him king, whose oath he despised, and whose covenant he brake, even with him in the midst of Babylon he shall die. So, when Yahweh raises up a man, he places him upon the throne of David, he's actually in the eyes of heaven is crowned as the king of Israel. And that's exactly what happens when he places the prophet in charge of the candlestick of the sanctuary of Israel, then he's got the same kind of identification as a king. And so this is what happened at Kermit, Texas. He says right here, it says, as I live, saith Yahweh Elohim, surely in the place, Gilead Center, where the king Willis Johnson dwelleth, that, from 1970 to 2003, that made him king. Alright, yeah, Yahshua is the one that dwelled there at Gilead Center, because his message was in that place. And his name was in that place. It was called the branch, and that's another name for Yahshua, or the son, is the branch. So he says, whose oath he despised. Brothers took an oath. He said, I've been given the sanctuary system to restore. I've been given the secrets of the plan of salvation through the sanctuary system to restore in these last days with all of his ordinances. He said, but Brother Johnson despised the oath. He swore an oath to teach my people my government and not to stray from it. He told us so many, many times. He said, Yahweh told me to teach my people my government. But he despised the oath. He despised it. And whose covenant he break? He break Yahweh's covenant that he made with him. Even with him in the midst of Babylon, he shall die. And Gilead Center, as all places here in the United States, are in the midst of Babylon. Because Babylon is in charge of the United States as well as the rest of the whole world. Okay. So it says, verse 17, neither shall Pharaoh with his mighty army and great company make for him in the war by casting up mounts and building forts to cut off many persons, seeing he despised the oath by breaking the covenant. Okay, now what is it talking about? It's talking about Pharaoh, seeing he despised the oath by breaking the covenant. When? Lo, he had given his hand and hath done all these things, he shall not escape. And you know what happened to Pharaoh? He wouldn't lay hold of the covenant that Yahweh made with Israel to bring them out of Egypt. And he fought against it. And he went and tried to bring Israel back after she had clean escaped out of the land. And he and his army died in the bottom of the Red Sea. They were drowned for their efforts. Okay. Therefore thus saith Yahweh Elohim, as I live, surely mine oath that he hath despised, and my covenant that he hath broken. What is this covenant? It's all of his commandments and laws. And he, even it will I recompense upon his own head. And I will spread my net upon him, and he shall be taken in my snare, and I will bring him unto Babylon, and will plead with him there for his trespass, that he hath trespassed against me. And all his fugitives with all his band shall fall by the sword, and they that remain shall be scattered toward all winds, and he shall know that I, the Yahweh, have spoken it. Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, I will also take of the highest branch of the high cedar, and will set it. I will crop off from the top of his young twigs a tender one, and will plant it upon a high mountain and eminent, and the mountain of the highest of Israel will I plant it. So where is that at? Mount Zion. That's the highest mountain in the highest of Israel today. It's where Jerusalem is at today. And the kingly palace ground of ancient David. And bear fruit, and be a goodly cedar, and under it shall dwell all fowl of every wing, and the shadow of the branches thereof shall they dwell. And all the trees of the field shall know that I, the Yahweh, have brought down the high tree, have exalted the low tree, and have dried up the green tree, and have made the dry tree to flourish. I, the Yahweh, have spoken and have done it. Okay, so he brought down the high tree. That was the 10 tribes up north in Samaria. He brought down the low tree, which is your 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin, in the south. Okay. That's the end of chapter 17. We'll continue on now with our study of the covenant, the Yahweh's covenant with Abraham. Let's see where we go from here. We go to Ezekiel chapter 20. That's where our next place it will be to continue. And verse 37 is your key verse there in Ezekiel 20. It says, "And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant." Okay, so now we're going to go back up and read the whole chapter of Ezekiel 20, one of my favorite chapters in all the Bible. It says, Israel's rebellion. Rebellions, excellent, more than one rebellion. They came to pass in the 7th year, in the 5th month, in the 10th day of the month, that certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of the Yahweh and sat before me. Then came the word of Yahweh unto me, saying, "Son of man, speak unto the elders of Israel, and say unto them, Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, Are ye come to inquire of me? As I live, saith Yahweh Elohim, I will not be inquired of by you. Wilt thou judge them, son of man? Wilt thou judge them?" That's talking about Yahshua. "Wilt thou judge them? Cause them to know the abominations of their fathers." Okay, we know that Gilead's sinner fell into abominations. We know that I was a witness to this. I had met some people in another state, in New Mexico, when I was living out in Kermit. And Yahweh led me there by the Spirit to meet these people. They were feast keepers. They were Gentile feast keepers. And they were looking for the Elijah, and I told them that I knew who he was and that I'd bring him to him. And so we set up a meeting, and I brought Willis Johnson. Because Willis Johnson was claiming at the time that he was the Elijah that was after all. And so we believed him there in Kermit, Texas. And so I brought him to meet these people, and lo and behold, a question came up. My wife posed a question to one of the ladies, said, "What do you think about birthdays?" And the lady said, "Oh, we know they're pagan, but now we don't exactly ignore them altogether for the children's sake." Says, "You know, but we don't do the candles, we don't blow out the candles, we don't sing happy birthday, but we do bake the cake and we do that. But we know it's pagan." And Laura Mae Johnson, the wife of the prophet, Brothers, she spoke up and she said, "Well, we do birthdays." So, my wife and I had just given that book to the Johnsons before on fossilized customs, talking about the pagan idolatry of Egypt and Babylon and all witchcraft and everything, and that the birthday celebration was one of the most abominable things that you could create in your for practice. It's the highest, one of the highest forms of idolatry there is, because it promotes self-serving and it promotes yourself as a god. One day every year, you're recognized and honored as really a god. And so, we made that information known unto the Johnson, and the Johnson gave us our book back and said, "Well, we're going to continue to do birthdays." So when Yahweh had me to meet these people and then to introduce the prophet to them and to set up a meeting with them, there were 7 groups of people involved here now from several different towns there in New Mexico that came to this meeting that I had set up. And lo and behold, Brother Johnson allowed his wife to destroy those people, or destroy that meeting, by saying, "Well, we do birthdays." So now this was 2 days before new moon. This was June the 9th at Kermit, Texas, 2002. This was about a month before Brother Johnson fell and broke his hip on July. Fell and broke his hip. No. This is 2 days before Brother Johnson fell and broke his hip. Okay. So now, Brother Johnson, we came back home that day. And Brother Johnson said, oh, wait, this is the most wonderful trip. She said, this is the best meeting we've ever had. Oh, we're reaching out. And, oh, I think these people accepted this, don't you? And I says, no, I don't know. I don't think so. Because this birthday thing that Lame says we do birthdays, and those women just acknowledged to us, those Gentile women, they were all mothers. They said, oh, we know that they're pagan. We don't do them ourselves. We just we do a little bit for the kids, and that's all. We know they're pagan. And Lama speaks up and says, well, we do birthdays. So that was the end of Gilead Center forever. I just told my wife before we went on that trip, my wife and I and Rhoda Johnson and his wife, the four of us, went on that trip. I had just told my wife before we left the house, I said, this will either be the beginning of many trips that we're going to make together for a missionary outreach into the Gentile world, or it's going to be our last one. And my wife, she said, well, I'm sure it's going to be our last one. So anyway, I said, well, you're probably right. And I said, that's just the way I feel about it. So sure enough, it turned out that way. And so we got back home on June the 9th. It was on a Sunday. And we got back that night, and Brother Johnson went to work writing his sermon for New Moon, which was on Tuesday, on the 11th. So he had one day, a Monday, in between to get his sermon ready. He had a night and a day. He had 36, oh my goodness, he had 48 hours to get his sermon ready. And so sure enough, he called me on the night of the New Moon. He says, make sure you're in church tomorrow. It's going to be the best sermon I've ever given. Well, the thing is, he got up early the next morning to prepare to come to church to deliver his sermon. And lo and behold, he fell and broke his hip on his front porch. He ended up in the hospital having an operation at the time that he's supposed to be in the pulpit preaching the sermon, the greatest sermon he'd ever had prepared. Instead, he was in the hospital being prepped to go under the knife to bolt his hip back together. It broke completely in two. Well, needless to say, he never delivered that sermon. But we know what it was about. It was about justifying birthday cakes as the unleavened cakes that you take at Passover time is a type of the unleavened, the birthday cakes that you bake to the Queen of Heaven and for birthday celebrations. He was going to give that sermon, but he never got to give it because it was all a lie. It was all abominations from the depths of hell. And that's what brought Brother W. Johnson down to his very end. Okay, so Yahweh used me in every sense of the word completely and everything possible to either cause Gilead Center to repent and to be exonerated and exalted back unto heaven in point of privilege or be cut down to hell. And because Brother Johnson and his wife rebelled against me and my wife and suspecting that we were going to take their place one day, and they were very jealous of that. And that's the reason why they rose up against us. Yet we were the one that worked together. When it was any time we had to go out and have an outreach into the field to do missionary work, it was always the four of us going together. And I was always appeared to be Brother Johnson's right-hand assistant. And so it was just a natural thing, it seemed like at the time. And so as we continue to read now in Ezekiel 20, I'll read that verse 4 again. It says, wilt thou judge them, son of man, wilt thou judge them? Cause them to know the abomination of their fathers. Well, I represent this son of man in this prophecy here at this time. And he says, the Son of Man is the one that he makes judge over his household, the one that he has raised up to be a successor to the one that's apostatizing. Okay. And I happen to be that one that he had raised up and placed in a position, and I was receiving my training every day and following the unction of the Holy Spirit and delivering the messages that heaven would give to me to deliver. And in the end, that was the right thing. That's the way it worked out. And we say, Ezekiel 20, verse 5, "And say unto them, Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, in the day when I chose Israel, and lifted up mine hand unto the seed of the house of Jacob, and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt, when I lifted up mine hand unto them, saying, I am the Yahshua, your Savior." Okay, or it's Yahweh your Elohim, the Father, through his Son, Yahshua, your Savior, he lifted them up with. So he always used his Son to represent his work, the Father's work. "In the day that I lifted up mine hand unto them to bring them forth out of the land of Egypt into a land that I had espied for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all land. Then said I unto them, Cast ye away every man the abominations of his eyes." Well, this is what Willis Johnson was admonished to do down at Kermit. "To cast away every man the abominations of his eyes, and defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt." All you gotta do is go read fossilized customs to know that the birthday celebration is your first and most important idol celebration that they have in Egypt. It's called pagan self-worship of oneself. Okay, "I am the Yahweh your Elohim. But they rebelled against me and would not hearken unto me. They did not every man cast away the abominations of their eyes." This word abominations is your key here in this chapter. "Neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. But I wrought for my name's sake that I would not be polluted before the heathen, among whom they were, and whose sight I made myself known unto them, and bringing them forth out of the land of Egypt. Wherefore I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt, and brought them into the wilderness. And I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. Moreover also I gave them my Sabbath to be a sign between me and them, and they, that they might know that I am the Yahweh that sanctified them." Now all you have to do is go back to Exodus 31 and start reading verse about 12 through 18 there, and you will find out this is where he gave them his sign to begin with. He says, keeping the Sabbath, Exodus 31:12. "And the Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generation, that ye may know that I am the Yahweh that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath," that's the seventh day Sabbath, "therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death, for whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy unto Yahweh. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. For it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days Yahweh made the heaven and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, 2 tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of Yahweh." Now notice the description of the seventh-day Sabbath is shown here to be quoted, be a quote from Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, where he said the seventh day he would create the Sabbath day and rested on it. And this is re-recorded in the law of Moses, And then it says in verse 18 of Exodus 31, it says, "And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communion with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone written with the finger of Yahweh." And in that Ten Commandments that he wrote there on stone, the Sabbath was the fourth one, I believe, that he mentioned there. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. All right, so now we go back to Ezekiel 20, and we'll continue on with that theme about the Sabbath being a sign between me and them. It's shown there. And verse 13 of Ezekiel 20, "But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walk not in my statutes, and they despise my judgment, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. And my Sabbath they greatly polluted. Then I said, I would pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them. But I wrought for my name's sake that it should not be polluted before the heathen, in whose sight I brought them out. Yet also I lifted up my hand unto them in the wilderness that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all land, because they despised my judgments and walked not in my statutes, but polluted my Sabbath, for that their heart went after their idols. And nevertheless, mine eye spared them from destroying them. Neither did I make an end of them in the wilderness. But I said unto their children in the wilderness, walk ye not in the statutes of your fathers, neither observe their judgments, nor defile yourselves with their idols. I am the Yahweh your Elohim. Walk in my statutes and keep my judgments, and do them, and hallow my Sabbath, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Yahweh your Elohim. Notwithstanding the children rebelled against me, they walked not in my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do them, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. They polluted my Sabbath, and I said I would pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the wilderness. Nevertheless, I withdrew mine hand and wrought for my name's sake that it should not be polluted in the sight of the heathen, in whose sight I brought them forth. I lifted up mine hand unto them also in the wilderness, that I would scatter them among the heathen and disperse them through the country, because they had not executed my judgment, but had despised my statutes and had polluted my Sabbath, and their eyes were after their father's idols. Wherefore I gave them also statutes that were not good, and judgments whereby they should not live. And I polluted them in their own gifts, and that they caused to pass through the fire all that openeth the womb, that I might make them desperate to the end, that they might know that I am the Yahweh. Therefore, son of man, speak unto the house of Israel, and say unto them, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, yet in this your fathers have blasphemed me, in that they have committed a trespass against me. But when I had brought them into the land for the which I lifted up my hand to give it unto them, then they saw every high hill and all the thick trees, and they offered their sacrifices, and there they presented the provocation of their offering. Here also they made their sweet savor and poured out there their drink offerings. Then I said unto them, what is the high place whereunto ye go? And the name thereof is called Bama unto this day. Well, you got to just put an O in front of that, and you have the name of the President of the United States, Obama. Yahweh will bring out Israel. Verse 30. Wherefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, are ye polluted after the manner of your fathers, and commit ye whoredoms after their abomination? For when you offer your gifts, when you make your sons to pass through the fire, ye pollute yourself with all your idols, even unto this day. And shall I not be inquired of by you, O house of Israel? As I live, saith Yahweh, tell him, I will not be inquired of by you. And that which cometh into your mind shall not be at all, that you say, he will be as a heathen, as the families of the countries, to serve wood and stone. As I live, saith Yahweh, Elohim, surely with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm, with fury poured out, will I rule over you. And I will bring you out from the people, and I will gather you out of the countries wherein you are scattered, with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm, and with fury poured out. and I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face, like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt. So will I plead with you, saith Yahweh Elohim. So this is a latter-day prophecy for us today. He's going to plead with us just like he did with our fathers in the wilderness of the people. And I'm talking about 3,500 years ago. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and will bring you into bondage covenant. Well, he did that same thing with Egypt, Israel back then with Moses. He had them to pass under the rod, and then he brought them into the bondage covenant from there. They all passed under the rod coming out of Egypt into the wilderness. But then they had to spend 40 years in the wilderness. They had to come into bondage covenant in the wilderness. And then he purged out the rebels from among them in the wilderness, and they did not enter into the land under Joshua back then. Well, likewise today, he's going to cause his children of Israel to pass under the rod again, and then he's going to purge them out here in the wilderness, and the wilderness of people is in the United States right here, preferably in Texas, where this is going to take place. Verse 38, and I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me. I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Yahweh. As for you, O house of Israel, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, go ye, serve ye every one his idols, and hereafter also if you will not hearken unto me, but pollute ye my holy name no more with your gifts and with your idols. So in mine holy mountain, in the mountain of the house of Israel, saith Yahweh Elohim, there shall all the house of Israel, all of them in the land serve me. There will I accept them, and there will I require your offerings and the first fruits of your oblation with all your holy things. I will accept you with your sweet savor when I bring you out from the people and get you out of the countries wherein ye have been scattered, and I will be sanctified in ye before the heathen, and you shall know that I am the Yahweh when I shall bring you into the land of Israel, into the country for the which I lifted up my hand to give it unto your fathers. And there shall ye remember your ways and all your doings wherein you have been defiled, and you shall loathe yourself in your own sight for all your evils that you have committed. And you shall know that I am the Yahweh when I have wrought with you for my name's sake, not according unto your wicked ways, nor according unto your corrupt doings, O ye house of Israel, saith the Yahweh Elohim. Moreover, the word of the Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face toward the south, and drop thy word toward the south, and prophesy against the forest of the south field. This is Judah. This is Yahweh's lawgiver. This is the tribe of Judah. This is the house of David. And say to the forest of the south, hear the word of the Yahweh. Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, behold, I will kindle a fire in thee, and it shall devour every green tree in thee, and every dry tree. The flaming flame shall not be quenched, and all faces from the south to the north shall be burned therein. And all flesh shall see that I, the Yahweh, have kindled it. It shall not be quenched. Then said I, O Yahweh Elohim, they say of me, doth he not speak parables? Okay, this is the end of chapter 20 of Ezekiel. What are we learning, folks? We're learning that the Sabbath is binding, first and foremost, upon all people. First and foremost on Israel, and secondly, on the stranger, the eunuch, and the Gentiles that lays the hold of your covenant. It says so right there in Isaiah 56. Matter of fact, we might just read Isaiah 56 to bring this sermon to a close. It fits, seems like, very well right here. Thus saith the Yahweh, keep ye judgment, do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. Now let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself unto Yahweh speak, saying, Yahweh hath utterly separated me from his people. Now let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith the Yahweh unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbath and choose the thing that please me and take a hold of my covenant, even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters, I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also the sons of the stranger that join themselves unto the Yahweh to serve him, and to love the name of Yahweh, to be his servants, every one that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, taketh a hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain, and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. For the Yahweh Elohim which gathered the outcasts of Israel saith, yet will I gather others unto him besides those that are gathered unto him. Accusations against the unrighteous. Verse 9. All ye beasts of the field, come to devour. Yea, all ye beasts in the forest. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. That's Jew and Gentile alike. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. When it says watchmen, it's talking about the preachers. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough. In other words, they are greedy pastors. Pastors and shepherds and ministers, they're just all greedy. They can never have enough. They are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter. Come, ye say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. Okay, that's the end of chapter 56. Let's close with a key verse now. Isaiah 33:15. He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despises the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him, his water shall be sure. Okay, Isaiah 57:15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. This brings the close of our service. We're going to close this service now with a song that I've written entitled, If You Learn to Follow the Pattern. Name of this song that I've written. If you learn to follow the pattern that's laid down for you in time, you'll find an area you need that's surely like your mind. But it has been quiet like it. If you learn to follow the pattern. Mm-hmm.